Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with John Squire, who is the CEO of Card Free. John, so nice to have you with me today.
Karen, so nice of you to invite us.
So let's talk a little bit about Card Free and the mobile commerce game. It's kind of like Wallapalooza out there these days. Lots of new entrants, lots of new approaches to solving the mobile commerce solution. What is Card Free up to?
Yeah, so when we launched, I think you're very well aware of our background story, but we were really hyper-focused on being a true end-to-end solution in the marketplace. Virtually every other player in the space initially approached this with a single-point solution, either payments or mobile gateway or order ahead, and then ultimately tried to back into the data story. Card3's platform from day one was really focused on providing a solution that fed the entire customer journey, and by that we mean from the initial engagement of a brand through to subsequent visits. So specifically for us, this means probably four distinct offerings. One is CRM smart offers to drive the customer in store. The second piece of this would be the ability to take that basket and or order ahead data and build it on behalf of our customer. And then three, the ability to transact and pay either when in store or located near the store via BLE, whatever it would be, in the cloud. And then four, really take that data down to the SKU level. With all of our partnerships, we do get the SKU level data and actually make it smarter on behalf of our customers, then serving up the most relevant experience for your next visit, right? So driving you back into that store, backing onto the learnings from your first visit. And then question around adoption. And really our adoption is driven primarily through working with the largest brands and their enormous customer base. So currently, we've reached through our five partners, two of which have not been publicly announced, 82.5 million customers a week with over 21,000 locations. And so as a white label solution, we're not trying to build that direct customer brand or compete with our brands. We're really empowering the merchants to interact with their customers directly, which is at least what we've seen, what customers or large brands want to do.
So one of the brands that I think you can talk about is Taco Bell. So help us understand how what you just described actually comes to life at Taco Bell for Taco Bell and its customers.
Sure. I'm sure you're very familiar with the brand. It's a very unique brand and has extremely avid fans who literally go so far as to tattoo themselves with the logo. They're so in love with the experience. So Taco Bell has been a great one to launch out of the gate with. Mobile has allowed Taco Bell to interact with their potential customer and demographic, which when standing back and looking at it, given the age group and the avidness of the fan base and the social interactivity of the fan base, could be the most spot-on merchant in the mobile space. But they are now able to interact with those customers on the go. And what this has done for the customer is literally exposed thousands of customizations of the menu that folks may not have been aware of before, while also expanding their product reach. If you've noticed with their launch and since then, they're serving up new products that are quote-unquote only in the app, which has driven both A/B testing capabilities as well as the ability for customers that are mobile-friendly to have early additional access to their brands. So what it's really doing ultimately for Taco Bell is driving menu awareness and exploration through their customer base as well as order accuracy, because the order is obviously preloaded in your basket. Showing up and geolocating the customer when they're close is actually inserting the offer with an accuracy that you can't normally obviously get at the speaker box. And whenever you marry operational efficiencies with a passionate customer base that now has a new workflow that makes their life easier, you sort of ensure yourself a home run with a brand that size.
So has Taco Bell been able to measure any kind of incrementality that's come out of adopting this approach to serving their customers?
Yeah, we can speak to the public numbers. They've been pretty forthright in coming out within the first few months, and if you remember the growth of Dunkin' and Starbucks and other folks that preceded this, they've eclipsed some of the folks in the space from a pure adoption standpoint with over 2 million downloads in the first few months. They've also been public in mentioning that ticket size has grown by 20% using mobile order ahead, which is massive, obviously, in a space as tight as margins as the QSR space. And, you know, their vertical has obviously been more focused on driving things like payments via store value cards or prepaid cards in the past. What's really unique about the way Taco Bell has approached this is it's almost the Uberization, I don't think that's a word yet, but Uberization of the order ahead space within QSR. So they've essentially effectively taken payments out of the equation. And when you check in and insert your order, you're not re-prompted to pay or nothing actually happens. It's totally seamless. And I think given what TechCrunch has picked up on and a bunch of other folks, and certainly we've seen it with both Starbucks and Dunkin' making announcements in the space, their example has set sort of the bar, and now we're going to see a lot of QSRs follow as far as order ahead goes.
You know, it's interesting because I would agree with you that pushing payments behind something that is much more valuable, like ordering what I want and then getting it when I arrive at the Taco Bell, is far more valuable to the consumer. But it also suggests that there's a lot that these QSRs have to do to kind of rejigger the way they service customers, maybe even configure their stores. What does this to actually offering something like this beyond just making the decision to mobilize payment and ordering?
And you hit the nail on the head. It's not as simple as literally inserting a scanner as in our previous lives and taking a new sort of efficient way to promote payments. There is a lot of operational considerations that go into order ahead, which I think historically is why people have avoided it. Things like making sure the food product is warm, hot, not been sitting on the shelves for hours. Technology has let people actually jump into the space now with things like beacons and obviously GPS and the way that we're seeing some of the other folks approach it. So much so that they are willing to take on those operational challenges and in some cases go so far as to reconfigure the in-store capabilities as well as the drive-thru capabilities. And obviously they wouldn't be taking on these rather Herculean efforts without an ROI attached to this new line of business, which most of them have spent significant time analyzing. And so we have now seen that 2015, 2016, order ahead is either on the roadmap or leading the roadmap for almost all of the space.
It really is interesting. It does suggest that, you know, the whole conversation about checkout and interactions physically with point of sale really become very irrelevant as this new way of interacting in an app with, you know, a retailer, in this case it's the QSR, really does create a whole different relationship opportunity, and it eliminates all this point of sale friction.
Right. That's exactly right. Now, that said, as we are end-to-end, we are doing the actual integration with the point of sale to make it feel seamless.
Right.
So there is no adjustment folks have to make with a hardware case. It's usually a software services interaction with us. But we are inserting that order, and not just orders, right? Offers or payment vehicle or whatever would be associated with the master account, which is essentially our term for the robust profile we build on our customers on behalf of our merchant brands, in the process of actually getting that transaction into the system. So we are actually essentially turning the device itself into a mini point of sale.
How different is the conversation you have with merchants about what you're doing versus a provider that's really just focused on payment?
Well, most of our merchants approach us for a single point solution. There was a lot of what I would call vendor fatigue, particularly in the franchisee model, for most of our merchant partners, and they would be looking at a roadmap that included things like payment or included things like smart offers or included things like updating the point of sale, and they'd stand back from it and sort of model it out and say, this is going to take 8 to 10 different vendors, and in fact, that was the case with our previous deployments. And they normally approach us for that very reason. There has been no end-to-end solution that they can grow with over the course of 24 or 48 months. So if they know payments is on the roadmap and inevitably 2 or 3 more things are on the roadmap, ultimately, they usually wind up at our doorstep, and that's fundamentally how we structure the company to provide services across things like CRM, loyalty, order ahead, and payments. If a single point solution is what they desire, everything we do is web service API based, so we're more than happy to service up a particular piece of functionality, whether it's mobile gifting or offers. In some cases, I would say 50% of the cases, folks approach us to do just that, and then as the relationship grows, they expand it to other channels. And in other cases, they'll come to us and take the entire stack. The importance of taking the entire stack with our offering is really the depth and breadth that you get with that master account knowledge. So the more services that are running on the card-free rails, the smarter that master account gets and your ability to market that customer on the go gets.
So, you know, thinking about Taco Bell as the typical profile of the QSR client that you're working with. Today, I would imagine that order ahead is a very small part of their business, but growing quickly. The predominant of people come in, stand in line, place their order, and leave. How many years do you think it will be until that is the exact opposite, where most people are ordering ahead and it's just the outliers that still walk through the door and place their order while standing in line?
I think that depends on the percentage of people who don't like to interact with people.
The antisocial people will go first?
Yeah, exactly. But seriously, within the next 2 or 3 years, we're seeing all the I would say, top 20 across different verticals. And there's different ways of spinning order ahead, right? In grocery or gas or C-store, right? You could look at order ahead as deli or driving them into the C-store. It's just really nuances on the terms. But we're going to see in the next 2 to 3 years, almost everybody in the top 20 across those different relevant verticals, I think, at least trying to work through the nuances of how this works with their customer base. We've certainly seen Panera do some stuff along this line. Dunkin' and Starbucks are publicly declared they're in this space. As you know, once you have the two or three people sort of leading the charge, there's always fast followers. I think from a consumer adoption standpoint, we're actually going to see this trickle over, if done right, because the experience is half about faster than we saw the payments cycle trigger over, right? Because there are consumers that just frankly cannot stand standing in line, or if they can get through the drive-through that much faster, are going to be all over this. So I think the adoption is really as fast as operationally our partners can handle it.
Interesting. So you mentioned a couple of other categories outside of QSR where this capability and the end-to-end solution that you have may be relevant. Are you guys exploring any of those verticals?
Yeah, I mean, given our background and sort of like the old adage, robbing banks, it's where the money is. QSRs were obviously our focus because that's where the transactions are. So following that model, we've also begun to work with other high transactional-based companies, which does fall into grocery, gas, and C-store. Our platform was originally built with that concept of crossing, obviously just focused on merchants, but crossing into different verticals. And we've also begun to engage third parties to actually distribute our APIs to and through. So we will never attack the SMB or mid-market channel directly. That'll be through our channel partners, which we will begin announcing in the next quarter or two. But our focus will continue to remain on the big brands, the top 50 across those different verticals, and really working through their customer base directly down to that customer base. We have much more scale that way. But the system itself was inherently designed to cut across all the needs of the different verticals for merchants.
Well, it's a really fascinating approach to taking mobile and really transforming the experience in a way that adds tremendous value to consumers and merchants beyond just payment. We talked a lot about that at the Innovation Project when we talked about some of the obstacles around getting consumers over the hump of using a phone to pay. There has to be other value. This obviously is one of the ways to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been saying this for a couple of years, but payments really for us is the period at the end of the sentence. And in some cases, it's the middle of the paragraph, right? It's about getting them into the reading of it and into the store itself, transacting, and then what happens with that relationship after the experience has already been concluded, right? So circling back with that consumer and making the next experience that much more seamless.
Yeah, and making it a very frictionless process for consumers who don't really think about payment because it's just a part of something else that is more interesting, more valuable, and more relevant for them at that point in time with that particular merchant, wherever they happen to be. John, it was great to get caught up. Thanks for giving us some insights about how you're approaching the market and specifically how Taco Bell is deploying your solution. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for your time, Karen.